listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear great ideas, insight, and inspiration to level up your leadership ability.
Hey guys, it's John Barrett with the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. I am so excited that you are tuning in for another episode where we're going to level you up so you don't level out in your influence and your impact and all that you do. Today, I'm going to do a little throwback to a book that I wrote years ago called Leadology, 12 Ideas to Level Up Your Leadership. And this is a great book. It's available on Amazon, on my website, out there. There's also an audio version of it on Audible, and you can go listen to it and do that. Now, I want to share with you the very last chapter in the book of my audiobook. And the idea is idea number 12, the symphony orchestra. And this is a story back when I was a young adult hanging out with some friends and we went to a symphony. And I'll save the story so that you can listen to it when we tune in to the audio here. But this is a great leadership lesson that I want to share with you. And this is something that I think if we can get going into the new year, this is going to be really helpful. So I want to share with you a excerpt from my audiobook, Leadology. If you like it, go get all the rest of it. You can go listen to it and be a part of that. So this is from Leadology. This is idea number 12, the Symphony Orchestra. I hope you enjoy it. This is me reading it in the audiobook. So enjoy this and let it level up your leadership. I'm rooting for you in this new year. Here we go.
Idea number 12, the Symphony Orchestra. Leaders know that to orchestrate success, they must come into harmony with what they seek to accomplish. Leadership is the metronome that keeps everything and everyone together playing the same tune. When the right players are playing the right pieces with the right point person and at the right pace, a masterpiece of success resounds. In my early 20s, I was invited by some friends to a university symphony orchestra concert. This was my first time attending such a mature event. I wasn't sure what to expect. After all, this wasn't the 90s grunge rock music I was accustomed to, but I agreed to go anyway, hoping some iconic rocker might be in attendance to make me feel more at home. The night of the concert came, and I got all dressed up like an adult. Instead of my usual baggy jeans and untucked shirt, I stepped up the game and decided to tuck in my shirt. This was my big step from rocker to refined gentleman. I was amazed that the place was packed when my friends and I arrived at the university auditorium. Obviously, I was not aware of how many other young people in the world enjoyed this type of music. We made our way through the sea of people to the main doors, were handed our programs, and took our seats. Eventually, the concert began. Very quietly and somberly, an army of musicians, special guests, and an awkwardly excited conductor were introduced. Not sure of what kind of experience this was going to be, I braced myself for having to make the most of it. Little did I know that this evening would turn out to be a turning point experience in my life, far beyond stepping out of my comfort zone to tuck in my shirt tails. As soon as the first note thundered, I was captivated. The sound, the power, the emotion, the variety of musicians and instruments, breathtaking. I watched in awe as the orchestra performed under the extremely enthusiastic cues of the conductor, who was elevated on his platform so all could see his gestures. The whole experience was amazing, but what really impacted me was the display of leadership I was observing. I pulled out my program bulletin and asked my friend for a pen. I began writing down every leadership lesson I was being exposed to right before my eyes. My program bulletin was full of principles that I was filing away in the margins, between the sections, and anywhere I could find an empty space. I truly watched some of the greatest leadership in action during those 2 hours. My friends were ready to go when the concert concluded, but I was still writing down everything I wanted to incorporate into my leadership style. I didn't want it to be over. This truly gave me a picture of how to orchestrate success while leading a team. The lessons I wrote down that night are things I've come to live by and now teach over 16 years later. The symphony is a fantastic and practical picture of how great leadership operates. A symphony orchestra concert has dynamic ebbs and flows of harmonious teamwork coming together to create an unforgettable experience. The team bands together to produce beautiful masterpieces of success throughout each piece of music. In the same way, people have the potential to create a masterpiece of success in their organization. But it takes an extraordinary synergy of flow and dedication for that success to bond together into a symphony of leadership. Only when there are great players playing great pieces, being led by a great point person, playing at the right pace, will there be a concert of progress. Traditional symphonies have what is called four movements. These movements are the framework for a great concert. They create an unforgettable experience for the listener and the participants. I couldn't help but think that just as a symphony concert has four movements also create a great leadership culture. These four movements or elements are vital for an organization to operate at its optimal performance level. The whole flow of the symphony breaks down if just one of the movements is off. Let's look at these four illustrative movements. The first movement, choose the right players. You cannot have a great orchestra with mediocre players. The success of the sound depends on the quality of the musicians. As a musician myself, I know there is a big difference between someone who plays an instrument and someone who truly is a musician. Anyone can pick up an instrument and get a few notes from it, but it takes specialized skill to make the instrument produce beautiful sounds. For example, there are a whole lot of people who play guitar, but few who are truly guitar players. Too many organizations settle for people who can pick a few notes instead of going after those who can produce greatness. The bar is set too low, allowing any player on the team. This may work in an all-inclusive band camp, but organizations that have a vital cause need the right people in place. Many companies essentially let anyone who can pick up an instrument join their team, then wonder why amazing music isn't being produced. To become successful, there must be a high bar set for your team or you'll only attract average players. Not everyone can or needs to be part of your organization. I'm not sure if you got that last statement, so let me make it again. Not everyone can or needs to be part of your organization. I have seen many organizations that never reach their potential because they simply have the wrong players playing. You can have all the strategy, tools, and resources in the world and still fall short if your people can't navigate them. A team is only as good as its weakest link. Organizations that allow subpar players to join their team set themselves up for heartache and misery. It is very difficult, discouraging, and time-consuming to continually have turnover in your organization by failing to get the right players. You can't allow desperation to lower your expectations. Desperation breeds depreciation. Depreciation causes you to undervalue what it takes and settle for whatever is available, which creates average work at best. When you settle for average, you surrender your potential for greatness. Being so desperate for a body that you end up putting the wrong people in place can be the most detrimental of mistakes. People should be placed in roles based on strategy, not solely on necessity. Everyone loses when necessity overtakes strategy. The person who wasn't the right fit loses because they don't have what it takes to perform at the level needed of them. The people leading lose because they become increasingly frustrated with incompetence. And finally, the organization loses because it's not operating at its best. An organization is only at its best when the best people are playing in the ensemble. You have to create high expectations on the front end if you want to get success on the back end. The good news is, when you set the bar high, it filters out the wrong players and ends up elevating the right players. This is why elite teams are highly productive. The right players are in place. For example, the Navy SEALs send potential candidates through a strictly regimented tryout before they even consider a person an actual candidate for the SEALs. It is one of the hardest, grueling military challenges in the world, with 75 to 80% of candidates dropping out. And these dropouts are not average, run-of-the-mill people. They are the top the Navy has to offer. Hell Week consists of 5.5 days of cold, wet, brutally difficult situations while operating on less than 4 hours of sleep. only 25% even make it past Hell Week, which happens early on in the third week of Phase 1. That is staggering, considering the whole training is 6 months long with a total of 3 phases. The SEALs have the best of the best, and therefore are the best of the best. This is not happenstance or luck of the draw. They intentionally only allow the right players to even have a shot at playing. The fact that you make it to the top few who get selected for the SEALs is an amazing accomplishment within itself. You may say, well, sure, but that's the SEALs. Our organization isn't that regimented. This may be the case, but if you want to grow, don't hire for what you want to maintain. Hire for where you want to go. The more you appreciate your organization and its mission, the more the players should appreciate and value. What you appreciate begins to appreciate in value. When you set the bar high, it will attract only those who play at a high level. The lower you set the bar, the more you'll attract low-capacity players. If you want to be the best, you have to play with the best. You have to decide if you want to be an organization that settles or an organization that is growing. The second movement, choose the right pieces. Not only do you need the right players, but you need to pick the right pieces for the players to play. Every great conductor capitalizes on the strengths of his or her team. Similarly, great athletic coaches know that as players leave and new ones come in, you must adjust your strategy based on the makeup of your new lineup. Leaders must do likewise. Knowing who needs to play each part and allowing them to bring their unique skill to the piece allows for a masterpiece of success. High-performance teams are fanatical about clearly defining expectations and executing them with precision. It is vital for the players to know exactly what to play and when to play it if they want to create a beautiful sound. Every individual musician in a symphony has clearly defined pieces to play at specific times. While I was at the concert observing this incredible group of musicians, I was mesmerized by their confidence in knowing the parts and the timing of when to come in. You could see the musicians begin to brace themselves for their upcoming cues. Thus, when the conductor signaled, they could perform their part with excellence. Truly successful masterpieces do not just automatically happen. It was only through strategic practice and clarity that these musicians were confident enough to create harmony. Every organization experiences the challenge of preserving clarity to ever-increasing complexities. Players have to know the entire score inside and out. As an organization increases in opportunities, clarity naturally decreases in complexities. You have to fight to keep the main thing the main thing. Players have to focus on their specific contribution or the whole piece can fall apart. Each person must be exceedingly responsible to play the right piece at the right time. Unlike athletics, a symphony relies upon every player to bring excellence to their part. No one can carry the symphony all by themselves, not even the musicians with soloist parts. It's not that sports do not rely upon every player to do their part, but when others are not carrying their weight, at least a star athlete is able to rise up and carry the team in the short run. Symphonies do not have that luxury. They are completely dependent upon each person knowing their part. The clarinet player cannot play the percussion player's part if the percussionist falls behind. The tuba player cannot carry the cello player's part if she is not present. You will sabotage your potential if your organization is relying upon stars to carry the success of your team while others are allowed to operate under the radar. Every player on the team must be held accountable to progress and results. Economist Milton Friedman once said, "One of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results." If someone is underperforming on the team, it will bring everything down. It's like the old boss who said, "Young man, I'm going to give you a substantial raise." The young man quickly responded, "When is it effective?" "When you are," the boss replied. The reason people underproduce is due to one of 4 components. Lack of clarity. Because their leaders' expectations are unclear, they do not know they are underproducing. Sometimes all someone truly needs is more clearly defined metrics to achieve. For whatever reason, they are fuzzy on what is expected of them and what the target is they are shooting for. Vision blurs over time. It is imperative that expectations are over-communicated on a consistent basis. Lack of competence. They do not know how to produce at a higher level and therefore need either training or termination. Many people don't just have what it takes to produce at a higher level. At this point, you have to decide if they need better training or if they simply will never get better even with training. If they are not able to respond to training or have already received the training they need and are still underproducing, they may need to be let go. Lack of commitment. They do not want to produce and have lost the drive to move forward. Some people become burned out and have no gas left in the tank to keep moving forward. In such cases, you must determine if they need a break, need to be moved to another area that better fits them, or need to be released from the organization altogether. They will never perform at their best if they are not committed to the vision. Lack of consequences. They are not held accountable for underproducing and therefore suffer no consequences for their inactivity. Many people don't operate at their best because there are no repercussions for substandard performance if they don't. They naturally flow to the path of least resistance and end up cutting corners to do just enough to get by. There is nothing holding them accountable. Like a child always threatened but never disciplined for their unacceptable behavior, an underperforming team member will feel they can get away with anything. When the right players are playing the right pieces, it's not hard to produce. You won't have to constantly look over everyone's shoulder and force them to get tasks done. They simply do it. Make sure your players know exactly what your expectations are and that they have everything they need to do well. Eliminate every excuse and you'll clearly know if the right players are able to play the right pieces. Theodore Roosevelt said, "The best executive is the one who has sense enough to pick good men to do what he wants done and self-restraint enough to keep from meddling with them while they do it." The third movement, choose the right point person. As I sat in the audience of the symphony concert, I couldn't help but notice how important the conductor's role was. The conductor directs the symphony and is thus the central person responsible to lead the musicians. The players watch the conductor's every move as they wait for direction. Clearly, the conductor is there to make sure everyone is playing their part in time and in tune. Every great symphony has a great conductor. In fact, the better the conductor, the better the symphony. The opposite is also true. The worse the conductor, the worse the symphony. Even the best of players playing the right pieces can fall apart if the conductor is not the right fit. The conductor is the glue that holds the whole team together. Everyone needs someone to look up to and help guide them along their journey of success. Teams need coaches. A crew needs a captain. Soldiers need a commander. A child needs a parent or guardian. Symphonies need a conductor. Your employees or volunteers need a point person. Far too many leaders fail to operate like a conductor. In fact, many leaders do the opposite of a conductor. They spend all their time doing everyone else's job. They are caught in the doing and it keeps them from leading. This causes them to come down from their primary responsibility of directing the whole team. A leader must stay in their designated role as the conductor so they can give direction and oversight to the overall score of the team. The conductor I had the privilege of watching never came down from his platform to play the instruments for the players. After all, that would have weakened his ability to lead the whole team. What if the conductor spent his time doing all of the playing for the musicians? It would never let the players get better and learn their parts. A leader is responsible to their team, not for them. The moment you start feeling responsible for them is the moment you'll stop challenging and start coddling. I also noticed the conductor was highly elevated so that all the musicians could see what to do and where to go. You can imagine if the conductor came down from his specific role, the team would have no one to look to and to lead them. This shows how important it is for leaders to be visible to the team. They must be present, working with the team continuously, communicating and directing. A conductor's primary function is to help the players come together and create a beautiful experience, just as a leader's job is to make sure the team is being equipped to do their part well. There would be no one to macro lead the orchestra if a conductor spent all of his or her time micromanaging the players. The musicians have to learn to trust their conductor, just as the conductor has to trust the musicians. The conductor is there to get the best out of the musicians by practicing and performing with them. It is through this process that a symphony can learn to create beautiful music together. I also saw that the conductor was highly enthusiastic. I have yet to see a great conductor who didn't bring passion and flair to their role. Conductors are known to be flamboyant figures, directing the players with intensity and gusto. I love watching these men and women conduct. They bring the music to life. It just makes you feel alive. In the same way, great leaders bring enthusiasm and passion to what they do. You will never see a highly successful person who is docile and melancholy. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. When you do a thing, do it with all your might. Put your whole soul into it. Stamp it with your own personality. Be active, be energetic, be enthusiastic and faithful, and you will accomplish your object. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." If you observe anyone who is highly successful at what they do, you'll notice they all bring a strong passion to their craft. There is an energy that exudes from them when they perform. This is because they are in their sweet spot, making things happen, and it lights them up. Having the right point person to lead a team makes all the difference in the team's performance and morale. Only put people at the conductor level who exude a high level of passion and enthusiasm for what they do. Nothing kills a team's performance more than a disinterested and disengaged leader who seems lifeless. The fourth movement, choose the right pace. To bring about emotion and feeling, the symphony orchestra plays everything in a precise time signature. The timing of the music determines the feeling of the emotion. Even when you have the right players playing the right pieces with the right point person, all must still be playing at the right pace and in sync with one another. Music has rhythm, and success has a rhythm as well. There is a groove to success that must be played. Playing too fast or too slow can change the whole rhythm of a song. During my own musical journey, it took me a while to figure out how to play in time with a metronome. The funny thing about the tick-tock of a metronome is that it never changes, but boy, does a person's timing change. I heard a struggling musician once say, "I've yet to find a metronome that doesn't speed up or slow down." Of course, the issue wasn't the metronome, but the musician himself weaving in and out of the time signature. Success is like a metronome. There is a disciplined pace that one must take to ensure a masterpiece. In my experience with musicians, almost all tend to speed up while trying to stay in time. Rarely do people slow down for some reason. I guess it is in our nature to want to speed up. It's probably our fast-paced, fast-food, microwave culture that tries to rush everything. But success is not a short, open sprint. It's a marathon with hurdles and obstacles. Organizations that set themselves up for the long haul are the ones who experience not just success, but significance as well. Significance is about leaving a legacy. It's about creating a lasting endeavor that stands the test of time. Short-sighted leadership creates fleeting fads. A leader's eyes must be on the future. I had a mentor that used to tell me, "Always be thinking down the road because you'll be there sooner than you think." Execute as if there's no tomorrow, but plan as if you'll live forever. Every great leader knows that if you want to have a sustainable level of success, you have to practice patience. It will always take longer than you thought and be harder than you anticipated. President Franklin D. Roosevelt understood the importance of keeping a country together while moving forward. Faced with one of the greatest economic crises in American history, FDR led the people through the Great Depression amidst World War II. He once stated, "A good leader can't get too far ahead of his followers." President Roosevelt kept a healthy pace, allowing him to lead the country without losing sight of the people in the process. Without the discipline of patience, you will give up and bail out from your pursuit of success. The journey of a successful enterprise must be built on patience. Thinking you will be an overnight success is not reality. In fact, I once heard it said that anyone can become an overnight success after 20 years of hard work. The journey to success is the daily process of pressing on even when it gets tough. Patience is the name of the game. But you can't truly have patience unless you couple it with endurance. Endurance is the ability to have patience, and patience is the ability to endure. So, to experience significance as an effective leader, you must extract endurance within yourself and your team. You have to reach deep within and labor from a place of purpose and dedication to your cause. If you don't have an unwavering sense of determination, you will give up when things get shaky, and things always get shaky. Radio personality Paul Harvey used to say, "You can tell you're on the road to success, it's uphill all the way." The more patience a leader possesses, the more success they'll experience in the long run. Get the right players playing the right pieces, being directed by the right point person, playing at the same pace, and you will begin to come into harmony with lasting significance in all you do. Questions to think about. A. Articulate how an organization is like a giant symphony. B. Circle which of the four movements are the most challenging for you and explain why. C. How will your organization leave a significant legacy? Leadology challenge. Is your organization operating like a well-rehearsed symphony orchestra? If so, what is letting it function so well? You need to study your success as much as your failures. If we don't know why we are successful, how can we fix it if things ever go wrong? If your organization is not functioning well, which of the four movements are struggling the most? Identify the areas that are not playing in unison with the vision. If just one of the pieces, the players, the point person, or the pace is off, it will sabotage the whole score. Master conductors can quickly identify what is wrong with the orchestra. They see and hear from a high-level vantage point, allowing them to decipher what needs to be fixed. You too must ensure that you are leading in a way that keeps the whole entirety of the symphony together. Listen carefully, watch observantly, lead enthusiastically, and communicate candidly. Pinpoint the areas that are off and make the necessary corrections to keep the flow of the movements progressing forward.
Thanks for listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. To get more of John's resources, visit www.johnbarrettleadership.com.